Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Halfway through our final show of the work week. Hope you're enjoying it. Hope you're hanging out with us and, not falling asleep, not angry, not, what else? Not unengaged, not uninterested. I don't know how you can be with what we heard from Scott Miller. Really good stuff from him in San Diego. And he and I have worked together for a really long time. We've crossed paths at various stops along my career. And he always brings new information that I've not heard anywhere else. So I'm fascinated by the idea of players having to hang out in the stands. It reminds me of my best friend's son and his team. He's a high schooler, but he plays on a travel team in the summertime, and they are playing in the Atlanta area. And initially the rules were you could not sit in the dugout. The team wasn't allowed to use the dugout. They had to sit on the front row of the bleachers. So behind the dugout on the lowest row of the metal bleachers. She said, my best friend said, that it took all of maybe 20 minutes for them to kind of crowd together and sit all in one line, similar to what they would be doing in a dugout. So I guess in this situation, not only will I'm sure the cameras be focused in on how much distance there is among players in the dugout, but also seeing players kind of kicking back, maxing, relaxing. I'm sure that's what they'll be doing in the stands themselves, where at least initially there aren't likely to be fans. That idea is crazy to me. Will they be allowed to use their phones, do you think? So there's the other question, because, you know, after everything that happened with the Red Sox and then with the Astros, that you're not allowed to have any type of technology in the dugout. You're certainly not supposed to be using your own personal devices. So will the guys who are sitting in the stands just be sitting there, or will they covertly have their phones between their knees? Oh, interesting. Someone's going to get caught. Come on. You can't tell me that most 20-year-old athletes, when they're not even allowed in the dugout, are going to not try to sneak a phone up into the stands where they feel like they're unlikely to be outed, to be spotted quite as easily. Fascinating. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's sponsored by Geico. Did you know right now Geico offers an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? And that's on top of what Geico can already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com. to learn more. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I just saw this tweet from Jeff, and it reminds me of something else really intriguing that Scott Miller said. 10 new managers in baseball this year. That's a third. Now, that does, of course, include Dusty Baker in Houston. We're talking about new manager for the Mets, because it was, well, Carlos Beltran would have been new anyway. But new manager there in Luis Rojas. Then you also have Ron Renicki in Boston. So those are three of them that were kind of caught up in the Houston Astros cheating mess. But there were others that were hired new as well. I mean, Joe Maddon now with the Angels. That to me is fascinating. David Ross with the Cubs, which is a new experiment there too. So yeah, there are a lot of changes. A third of the teams have new managers this year. So thank you, Jeff, for reminding me of that. That's a big number, especially when you consider this season is unlike any other. The NFL will be like that as well. And I'm not sure if you guys saw the social media post that J.J. Watt threw up on Thursday, a list of questions that NFL players want answered before they get to training camp. It's funny because my boss asked us as hosts, we had a conference call, a video call, actually. He loves video calls, which my poor boss, he's been working from home since he's high risk. He's older and he's a cancer survivor. He's been working from home since early March. I used to see him almost every morning and I really do miss him. He's such a wonderfully supportive boss. And I know he believes in me, which makes all the difference. Anyway, I haven't seen him since early March. We'll talk on the phone every now and then, but he loves to have these video conference calls in the middle of the day where I have been awake for all of 10 minutes and I feel like I got hit by a truck. And so he gets on this conference call and it's kind of this rah-rah, like, you know, wanting to encourage us and support us, which is great, but also talking about some of the challenges and wondering whether or not we think sports are going forward. I felt like I was doing a shortened version of a talk show, although I wasn't the one talking. And he asked us, have you been able to generate any conversation around baseball? And he specifically asked about phone calls. And he said he was listening to our show 24 hours ago. And he usually does. In fact, he may be listening right now. If that's the case, good morning, boss. He wanted to know if we were able to generate any caller traffic about baseball. And I shook my head no. I really wasn't vocal at the time. I was more of a mute. I know that's hard to imagine, but I'm not a morning person. And so I didn't speak up, but I did shake my head. Most of the other guys on the call said no. It's interesting because we had a ton of you take our poll on Twitter. We had a bunch of you, I mean, dozens of you, weigh in on our Facebook page about your level of excitement with a week to go until baseball's opening night. You all responded to the question we threw out there. And yet we didn't get any phone calls, which is fine. Neither here nor there. I don't need them. I don't mind them, but I don't need them. And I know a lot of times you're still listening, even if you don't call. So it seems like, at least according to the host conference call, the consensus, that most fans are taking a wait-and-see approach. Now, according to our poll, 33% of you say you're not at all excited. Let's just get to 2021. So why don't we just forget baseball? I'm not into it. I'm pretty much over it. Let's just skip it, cancel it. Some of you say to me it's too late, which that doesn't make any sense to me. It's middle of July. We would right now, do you know what this weekend would be or we'd be coming out of? We would just be coming out of the Major League Baseball All-Star break and we'd be launching into not quite the full second half, but the latter third of the baseball season. So it's not too late. How many of you tell me the baseball season's far too long? Maybe you'll like this better. So I think it's a combination of, I don't want to get my hopes up, a combination of disgust over the way the negotiations took place. But in addition, just in general, the tone of 2020, it's a lot of negativity, let's be honest. It's hard sometimes to fight upstream. Even here on the radio show, sometimes I feel like being positive, being cautiously optimistic is going against the grain. Most of you don't seem to want to hear it. And I'm not sure if that's because you are afraid to get excited or because misery loves company, or because you really are that fed up with sports. I mean, that's generally a small cross-section of sports fans. Maybe all the positive Pauls have left and they're not listening anymore. I'm not really sure. Definitely is an undertone of negativity, though. And I have said to you before, I can't live that way. I can't do a talk show that way because I would hate it, and I cannot do a nightly talk show that I hate. I can't. There are always topics that pop up here or there that I don't enjoy talking about, but that's temporary. If I was always stuck in the doom and gloom, if I was a negative Nelly, I would hate my talk show and I wouldn't enjoy coming to work. So I can't do something that I can't stand. I got to be able to sell it. Enthusiasm, energy, positivity, excitement. These are hallmarks of me, my voice, my shows, my career. I can't change now, nor do I want to. Now, do I have to get realistic at times? Sure. Do I deal with disappointment when it pops up? Absolutely. Am I willing to be honest and candid with you? Well, I think I just proved that earlier on the show, talking about the Washington Redskins situation. And this is the report in the Post about the culture of sexual harassment and workplace intimidation, in case you hadn't heard it. I can't sit around and wait for the other shoe to drop that squashes all of my dreams. Sounds so melodramatic, but I can't. I just can't do that. Maybe there are a lot of you who would prefer that. It would suck you down like a sinkhole, but it's just not me. Dear Lord, I couldn't get out of bed every day if that was how I looked at the world. So I think you're kind of stuck with me. Now, you do have the option of turning off the radio, but this is who I am. It's how I approach life, and it's how I approach sports, and I will be excited when baseball gets on the field in a week. I will be. I'm going to speak it. Preach it. No, I mean, I'm not going to be over the top, and I'm certainly not going to predict who wins the World Series. Heck, I don't even know if there is a World Series. But come on, can you at least concede it would be a major victory between now and August 1st? Okay, so Friday is July 17th. In the next 2 weeks, well, 2 weeks and a day, if we include August 1st, in the next 15 days, we could see Major League Baseball with its opening night and followed by its opening day. So every team with its opening day. We could see the NBA hit the court again in Orlando. And we could see the Stanley Cup playoffs start with this kind of wacky, weird formula that I think will be really intriguing in 15 days. Do not try to tell me that wouldn't be a massive, mega, major accomplishment to get all three of those operating in the next 15 days. Now, it doesn't mean that the rest of their schedules, the rest of their seasons, the rest of the playoffs will go smoothly. No, it doesn't mean that. But to even get back to the point where they're playing games that count is huge. And come on, you guys. After 4+ months of talking about it, you got to be a little bit excited. I know it's hard. We dare to hope and our hopes get dashed. Trust me, I'm right there with you. I have friends every day, and I worry about my friends. Friends every day who tell me they're depressed, they're sad, they're lonely. 2020 sucks. It's awful. It can't get any worse than this. So I get it. I'm a human being. I worry about the people in my life who are down and discouraged and who feel like there's no way out. I worry about my grandmother dying before I ever get a chance to see her again. I know that sounds terrible, but she's 98, for heaven's sakes. And I don't know if I'll be able to see her this year. I have worries and concerns about my own life and my family and my friends, just like you do. But I got to see the bright side. And in 15 days, we could have baseball, basketball, and hockey. Just to get it off the ground is humongous. And these leagues, as much as we can stand back and criticize, and certainly baseball deserves that. There's always something to criticize, let's be honest. And baseball deserves everything it gets for its public, ugly negotiations. They wanted us to see it, so we saw it, and it affected our opinions. Can't put the guts back inside. They've all been spilled out for the world to see. I can't unsee that. No, we can't. But despite everything, the virus, the volume of testing, the number of people involved, the bubbles, the hub cities, the logistics, despite all of it, in 15 days, we could actually have three of the big four playing on the same day. How about that? That is freaking awesome. And I will be celebrating that. Again, I'm not going to get too far ahead of myself. We may not have a Stanley Cup champ or an NBA champ this year. It's not beyond the realm of possibility. But I'm going day at a time, show at a time, one sport at a time, baby. 15 days. Just give me the 15 days. And if after that, we haven't gotten to the point where these three sports are operating, fine. I will be a little doomy and gloomy with you. But right now, I'm holding out 15 days. Give me till August 1st. And then if you need some company in your misery, maybe I'll join you a bit. 1-5. You got this, peeps. We got this, peeps. Sports fans, we got to stick together. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Are you mad at me now? Probably. Also on our Facebook page, even though I have no idea where your posts are. I swear to you, I cannot find your visitor posts. I don't know where they are on the page. Maybe producer Chris can send them to me somewhere if he can see them, but I can't find them. In fact, I don't see anything new on our Facebook page tonight, so I'm sorry about that. I don't know what's going on with it. It doesn't look this way on my laptop at home. For whatever reason, it hasn't changed over there. It only looks this way at work, and I don't know how to fix it. So, maybe you can send us an email. Chris likes to give out his email.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
I miss football. It's about that time where I'm usually jonesing for football anyway, and would be starting a countdown, actually, until the season kicked off. We are inside of 2 months until opening night in the NFL. Now, I do not know if football will start on time. That feels like it's so far down the road that I can't even guess. I will tell you that people I talk to inside the NFL community, meaning players who are connected, analysts, insiders, they all believe the NFL season will take place. They don't necessarily believe college football will take place, but to a man and one woman, I told you I spoke with Kimberly Jones on a Wednesday. She and I agree that if football gets off the ground, then we'll feel like the hurdle is cleared. The worst of it is behind us. But pretty much everyone I speak to inside the NFL community, those who have their pulse on what's happening and have connections that go as high up as the league offices, they all say football's happening at the professional level. Maybe not college football, and we may not see the NFL with fans. Though you may notice there's a story here, a story there, about how various NFL teams are making plans to host fans, to allow fans in a limited capacity. So I don't know that we'll see all empty NFL stadiums all the time. It certainly will depend on the local mandates, on the governments. Are they willing to make exceptions for sports teams? It's going to depend on what happens with the virus and the numbers moving forward, what part of the country we're talking about. So it's, as Scott Miller said over and over, a fluid situation. There's not a situation or a solution, excuse me, that we can come up with today that will automatically fit what happens a month and a half down the road. It's not possible because we don't know where we're going to be a month and a half down the road. Heck, we don't even know where we're going to be a week down the road. Let's be honest. But when I hear Mitch Holtis on the Chiefs radio network and a touchdown from the Super Bowl, I'm reminded what waits for us if we're patient and if they push through, the process. Right now, it is a process. And do you want to know what Patrick Mahomes said about it on Thursday on social media? Maybe some of you saw it. Maybe you didn't. So I will share it with you. Tom Pelissero, who is a reporter for NFL Network and NFL.com, He said, he tweeted this late on Thursday. If the NFL and NFLPA don't have an agreement on testing and other health and safety protocols before Monday, Chiefs and Texans players will be required to report or face discipline, setting the stage for a potential grievance. Talks are ongoing. In other words, and as Patrick Mahomes points out, it's come down to this. All this time they had, and now it comes down to this. Now, deadlines tend to spur action, especially in the NFL. How many times have we seen them come out with some agreement? They pull it out of their butt right under the wire. Collective butt. One big butt. And so Mahomes tweets this. He quotes the Pelissero tweet and adds, "Stuff is crazy, man. All this time we had, and now we are down to this." Now, why Chiefs and Texans? Because that is supposed to be your season opener on September 10th. My season opener. Our season opener. On the 10th of September, which is not even 2 months away. In fact, it's 7 weeks. I can't even imagine a fall without football, so I dare not go there. Because I would fall down that rabbit hole so fast that I would bump my head and not be able to get out. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. 855-212-4227. Mahomes also retweeted J.J. Watt's list of questions that NFL players need answers to before training camps can open. We'll get to those, but first, Crystal is waiting in Dallas. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, how's it going, Amy?
Good, thank you.
Well, it's been a rough 48 hours if you're a Cowboys fan. Where do I start with this team? They overpaid Amari Cooper. They overpaid DeMarcus Lawrence. And now, unfortunately, we're going to have to overpay Dak Prescott next year. Okay, this team had 17 months to get this deal done. And all we heard from Jerry Jones was, oh, I don't get hand cramps when it comes to contracts or signing contracts. Well, I guess you did because this deal didn't get done. And now it's going to be a distraction the whole year. And, you know, to be honest, this team is very talented. And I think the sky's the limit next year. And because of that, I think Dak will have a good year. And we're going to have to, you know, give him money in the ballpark range of $40 to $45 million. When this deal should have got done before the Wentz and Wilson deal, you know, and it's good, but, you know, after that, we're not going to be able to pay anyone. And it all comes down to Jerry Jones. This isn't Dak's fault. This is Jerry Jones's fault, okay, because his whole slogan, deadlines make deals, you know, he loves the headlines. And what do you know, the day after the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, the number one headline on ESPN was the Dak Prescott contract, and this is the reason why we're the most valuable franchise. But what does it matter when we haven't won a Super Bowl in 25 years? I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's just, it's frustrating. You know, you hope that Dak can push through it. I think he will, but I just wish the deal would have got done. It should have got done a long time ago. Thanks for taking my call, Amy.
Sure, Crystal. It's good to talk to you. Are you hanging up?
Yes.
Okay. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
Crystal just needed to vent, but I am going to respond to Crystal since he brings up a bunch of points that I think are worthy of a response. I always tell you that I provide some free therapy, so you are welcome to call and vent anytime. In fact, I feel like if I opened up the next 90 minutes for you all just to vent, which is another way of saying complain or another way of saying air your grievances. Hello, Seinfeld. Another way of saying bitch and moan. Not necessarily. It can be that way, but it doesn't have to be that way. Here's what I would say about the Dak Prescott distraction. There is going to be so much happening this year around football. If we get football on the ground, I don't know that contracts themselves are going to be a massive distraction. Now, do I think that it's unfortunate they didn't get a deal done? Maybe. Especially if the has a really great season, they're going to have to end up paying him more. But what did we hear last night from Howard Balzer? And I like the way he put it. Dak bet on himself. He wants the freedom and the flexibility to, in four more years, be able to sign another contract. So he bet on himself. He's also gambling that the salary cap is going to go up. And I think, Crystal, that's another valid point. It may seem like that there's not going to be enough money and that Jerry Jones overpaid for this guy and that guy. Just as a side note, I think Amari Cooper's worth every penny, but that's just me. In fact, I think he was worth 2 first-round draft picks when they traded for him. Again, that's my personal opinion that I've expressed many times about Amari. He is great. And the offense is better with him. But anyway, back to Dak. I don't know that you're going to have those salary cap stipulations or restrictions with new TV money. There's likely to be more room under the salary cap, not less. So I wouldn't worry about the future and the finances, because this season is going to change a lot. It very well could create issues in the future, but it might not because of TV contracts. And I just can't even worry that far down the road, because there's too much that needs to fall into place that might blow up between now and then. So when I say I'm going a day at a time, I really do mean it. Show at a time, a day at a time. And it almost feels like a waste of time to talk about things 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now, 4 weeks from now. I'm seriously living for the next 15 days. If we get through the next 15 days, I'm going to throw a freaking party. 15 days. That's as far out as I go. I can't do any farther than that. And I really can't even predict what it's going to be like. But at least 15 days gives me a frame of reference. The NFL is still 7 weeks out. They're not even on the field for training camp yet. So I can't worry about contracts that may or may not be a major issue down the road. I just don't think you're going to see the same distractions this year. A, players are likely not to be interviewed in person. It's all going to be over Zoom calls, more than likely. And B, the limited access, the virus testing, the fact that they're likely to be playing in stadiums that are, if not completely empty, relatively empty. There is so much that I think will fall in order of importance before a future contract that I don't think it's just not going to be the same as what it's always been, where there's a swarm of reporters around a guy that can ask him the same question over and over and over and over again. It's not going to be the same. But I certainly am pleased that you're really upset about football solely and not about anything else. All right. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. I'm sorry about Facebook. I don't know what I'm doing with Facebook right now. And it's bothering me more than I know what to do about, really, at this particular moment in time. But you could, I don't really know. You could send me tweets, of course. Can you please ask producer Chris if he can help with Facebook? At least show me where the visitor posts are, because I don't know where they are. Can you see the visitor post, Dave, where you are?
I'd have to pull up Facebook and take a look.
All right. Help!
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
We found them, or more accurately, Chris found them. Holy cow. This new Facebook format that I'm seeing on the work computer makes it really difficult to find your visitor posts, your visitor comments. And many of you, you may not weigh in on a particular post that we've put up on the page, but you usually find the visitor comments section and leave me some of your, you know, reaction replies, whatever. And I mean, I couldn't find them anywhere. It's been all week and I haven't been able to find them. And producer Chris realized that they're under community, which I guess theoretically makes sense. But holy cow, I'm sorry that I didn't think to look there. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for those of you who've been faithfully posting on our community section where the visitors' comments are now allowed. Oh my gosh. So there are a few of you who have asked me about what I did to jumpstart my mini vacation. I don't even know if we're going to call it a vacation. It's a long weekend. So this is my last show until Tuesday night. The boss is encouraging us to take some days off, and it's supposed to be 95 degrees. That's without the heat index on Sunday in my neighborhood. And so I am going to the beach. Beach. I cannot wait to get to the beach. It's my first time all year. In fact, it's my first time since late last summer, since my beach vacation this May got canceled, obviously. And so I'm really looking forward to it. Going to be cautious, going to be careful, but I can't wait. So here's what I did in preparation. I put this out there on our last show and then also on Twitter that I had scheduled a pedicure. And I don't know why I'd put it off. I guess I was just kind of waiting to see whether or not the salons would open. They finally did in New Jersey. But I had this moment of, I better go get a pedicure before they shut down again. Now, we're not going that direction. New Jersey's doing really well in terms of its virus numbers. So it doesn't seem as though we're in danger of closing things again. However, we do not have indoor dining. That may be one reason why our numbers are staying low. Our gyms are not open. Our malls are not open. Our entertainment centers, our theaters are not open. So there's a lot that's still closed in New Jersey. It's not a whole lot for the governor to reclose because it's still closed. But the salons are open, and I thought, okay, I'm going to try this. I'm going to see what it's like. I knew there were stipulations and rules, but I scheduled a pedicure for Thursday. You guys. It was a speed pedicure. It was like I feel the need for speed. So I overslept on accident, and so I was a little bit late. Not to worry, because they were not busy. I get there. First thing I have to do is have my temperature taken. It's only the second time I've had my temperature taken since this whole thing started, because that shows you how little I've gone out. My temperature was 97.6. Whatever. So it was low. And then after I had my temperature taken, I had to sign a waiver after I read and answered a couple of questions about coming into contact with anyone who had COVID-19 or being exposed or something. There were two very similar questions, actually. So the answer to both was no. And then I had to sign a waiver indicating that if I got the virus, I would not blame the nail salon where I got my pedicure. Okay. So take my temperature, answer some questions, sign a waiver. Then I had to wash my hands. Don't ask me why. I wasn't using my hands for anything. In fact, in my hands, I was carrying my book, thinking I would need my book. Just wait until you hear what I did not need and why I did not need it. I was carrying my book, my wallet, my phone, and my coffee because I had just woken up. So she takes all my stuff and says, wash your hands. I was like, okay. So I washed my hands. I sat in the chair. She gave me all my stuff back. I never touched anything else. Anyway, oh no, I take it back. I touched the little remote control where you set the massage chair. For those of you who go to get your nails done, you can very often sit in a massage chair. Here's what else I didn't need. I didn't need a 30-minute massage because I was in the chair maybe 17 minutes. Maybe. Now, typically, pedicures, spa pedicures, will last between 40 and 45 minutes. The whole point to go, at least for me, is to, yes, get your toes done, yada, yada. But really, I enjoy sitting there, having the massage chair behind me. I enjoy sticking my feet in the water. I enjoy the bubbles. I enjoy relaxing and reading my book for 45 minutes. I didn't have time to read a page of my book because by the time I answered a few text messages, the pedicure was over. Now, I did tip the same as I always do. I paid the same as I always do. But yeah, take my temperature, answer some questions, sign a waiver, wash my hands. Oh, I sat encased in plexiglass for a pedicure that lasted 17 minutes. And you weren't allowed to sit there and dry your toes either. So typically you sit under a little dryer and sometimes they give you a massage depending on where you go. Nope, none of that. She allowed me to sit there for 2 minutes and then I paid and I was out the door. I wasn't even inside the building for 25 minutes. However, all that said, totally worth it because I now have pretty feet. Eek. Blue, by the way, blue toenails. And no, I'm not posting a photo because that is not necessary. Just use your imagination. You know what blue is. Denim blue. Anyway, so I'm happy it's done and I feel like I kind of got a jump start on my long weekend. It'll be fun to go to the beach. The funny part is, though, I haven't had any type of a pedicure or my toenails done since, well, it was for the Super Bowl, for the week in Miami, because I knew I'd be wearing sandals and stuff. And so now, looking at my toes, not that I'm looking at my toes right this second, but when I was walking into work and walking around my house on Thursday evening, I kept thinking, what is wrong with my feet? It just looked different. It looked weird. So I am very thankful. And those of you who are girls out there, especially if you're girly girl like I am, and I think there's a girly girl in all of us, I am thrilled that I got my hair done and got my, some of you it's fingernails, for me it's toenails. I don't bother with my fingernails. They're a mess. But it makes me feel like a new girl. I'm a new woman. So that was kind of how I pampered myself for all of 17 minutes to start my little mini vacation. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. I promised you the list from J.J. Watt. I'm going to go from girly girl and pampering myself to what we need for training camps to open in the NFL. I don't need to drop my voice. I'm not sure why I did that. The Texans and the Chiefs are supposed to open the NFL season on September 10th, so we're 7 weeks away, but we're only a handful of days from when training camps are theoretically scheduled to open. I've said this to you. I know that this is not what Howard Balzer said on the show last night, and I respect his opinion, and we'll find out which one is more accurate. I don't necessarily believe that camps will start on time, even though Tom Pelissero said these guys are in danger of being fined. They're in danger of being out of compliance with the rules right now for training camps. I don't think the NFL is going to be able to toe that line. I think they're going to have to back off on it, and owners are going to have to back off on it. If they do not come to an agreement sometime fast, and I mean Friday, there's no way they can safely open camps. Think about the number of tests that have to be done, the intake testing. Think about the guys who have to get to their home markets if they don't live there. The sheer logistics, the sheer minutiae of it all it's overwhelming. And so I can't imagine they're going to be able to start camps when they are supposed to, when they are scheduled to. Do you know that rookies for the Texans should have been reporting this weekend? They can't do that without having all these health and safety protocols in place, and they have not been able to agree on them yet. I'm assuming that they will continue to negotiate until they come up with something. There have been a handful of conference calls. In fact, J.J. Watt on his Twitter references four player association calls, so four calls among the athletes with the union, organized by the union, in the last 2 weeks, and he says there were hundreds of other players who were on these calls. Here's what we know and what we don't know. Okay, so this is J.J. Watt. I'm reading verbatim from J.J.'s Twitter. Here's what we know and don't know. I'm going to read them all in order. The very first thing is we want to play. Good to know. I'm glad. We want to play. Number two, we want to be as safe as possible. Number three, we have not received a single valid IDER plan, and then he puts in parentheses, infections, disease, emergency response, from any team or the league, meaning they've not received a plan to tell them what happens if they need to kick into emergency response. Okay, so they don't know, worst case scenario, what happens. We don't know if there are preseason games or not. That's number four on his list. Number five, we don't know if there will be daily testing, semi-daily testing, etc. I'm not sure if you know this or not, but the Players Association favors daily testing. The NFL is looking at every other day. So it doesn't seem like it's something that should hang them up, but it's still something that they haven't agreed on. Next on JJ's list, we don't know how a potential positive COVID test would affect contracts, roster spots, etc. And this is also something that they are negotiating over. This is a major unresolved issue. whether a player who tests positive for COVID-19 should be classified as a non-football injury. Because, and here's the kicker, not the actual kicker, if players are on the non-football injury list, teams don't have to pay them. Ooh. To me, that is a red flag, and if I'm a player, I do not agree to that. Absolutely not. It's not, especially if it's not your fault that you got COVID-19. But either way, let's say you get it from a teammate. Heck, let's say you get it from a coach. I'm not sure if there'll be contract tracing, but either way, you're not going to pay a player because he came down with the virus? That's insane. Absolutely not. If they agree to play, they need to get paid. If they are physically able to play, meaning it's not an injury. JJ goes on to say, nothing has been agreed upon regarding what training camp will actually look like and how the ramp-up period will work. And he finishes with this again, we want to play. Here's what we know and what we don't know. It's a lot. It's a whole lot.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.